Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
You know, as I stand here right now, I'm sidetracked. If it is your first time and you did not fill out one of these focus cards, we would like to know that you visited with us. So please fill one out and give it to somebody before you leave tonight. Amen. So tonight, if you would, join with me in your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians. Chapter 10. I'm going to read verse 4. Stay with me, band, for a second, please. 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse number 4. As you turn in your Bibles there, I just want to take one moment to recognize our bishop and our pastoral staff that has left to go to Panama and help. It takes real men and real women to go where help's needed. And so for that, I honor them. And we just pray the Lord's safety and protection on them as they come home. And I'm blessed to be under a ministry and an authority that is not too good to give back and is not too good to reach out, even if it's driving all the way to the armpit of Florida, to help those in need. Amen. So as we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, it says, actually, let us digress and go to verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war or fight according to the flesh. Therefore, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. Lord, bless the reading of your word tonight, God, as we give you all the glory and all the praise, God. We give you worship tonight, God. We worship you in spirit and in truth, God. Lord, we recognize that we fight not against people that are sitting next to us or people that we work with or people in our households, God. But we recognize that the strongholds of the enemy that are in high places are able to be torn down through the weapons that you've given us to prosper in the mighty name of Jesus. And we give you all the glory and all the praise. And as one family, we said amen. So as you can tell, I'll be delivering the word of the Lord tonight. If you don't know who I am, I'm Pastor Josh. I'm the worship pastor here at CRCOG. And as we've already established before, Pastor Ronnie and Pastor Steve are both with a group of men in Panama taking care of those in need. Amen. So it is my honor and my privilege to give the word tonight. Tonight, wrestling with two messages, and I've decided to preach on worship. How fitting. So I want to speak to you tonight on the simple subject, the other side of worship. So as we look at worship and we look at it, thank you guys. You guys are good to go. Thank you so much. Give our band and our singers a hand. They are great. And as you see every Sunday, every Wednesday, you know, we put in preparation, we put in time, but I wouldn't be half of what I am without the team that God has placed here at the church. So give one more time. Just give it up for them. Let them know how much you love them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But as we look at worship, we look at it and we see flags being waved around. We look at people dancing around. We look at people singing and we look at people waving their hands and lifting their hands. We see people crying. We see people that look upset, but they're really crying in joy. And then we see people that come in and they're broken and they're hurt, but they come into the house of God to worship. And we see our brother and our sister that we know who they are, and we see them in the pain and we see them in the agony and the suffering that they might be going through in their personal life. And we see them pushing through and coming in and worshiping God in whatever fashion that might be that we see, right? Amen? And so tonight I want to talk to you about the other side of that. You know, when we come in and we see that, that's great and all, right? We come in and we say, oh, the flags, oh, we got Pastor Josh up there with the Tourette shout. He just can't hold it back sometimes. You know, we see Sister Yay Yay dancing and speaking in tongues, and we see Brother Flip Flop over there jumping around. You know what I'm saying? And so we see that, but in the spiritual realm, we look and we see angels and demons fighting. We see the Lord fighting on our behalf. We see swords clashing each other. We see the enemy being defeated. Amen? It's bloody. It's war. It's downright all-out war. Knock down, drag out. When you come into the house of God and the enemy has been trying to stop you since Monday, all right? I ain't got nobody to witness up in here. Come on. I need somebody that has been tried since Monday of this last week, 3 days ago, and he's been trying to get you to not even come to Wednesday night Bible study. My God, in the atmosphere, God is fighting on your behalf. When you come in here and you lift up a hallelujah, when you come in and you say, praise the name of the Lord, even though it doesn't look like everything is going to work out right now, it doesn't look like everything's nice. It doesn't look like all my ducks are in a row. But I know that one day, if I just keep pushing through and worshiping Jesus, everything is going to work out. He's an on-time God. He's going to come through and do what he does. Amen. So it's all-out war. And as we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, for the weapons that we fight with are not the Glock 9mm. You know what I'm saying? It ain't that AR you got stashed up in the closet. You know what I'm saying? You know, it ain't that AK. It ain't a bazooka. Even though a bazooka does damage in the spiritual world, in the spiritual realm, your bazooka ain't gonna do jack diddly squat. Amen. So we realize and we respect the fact that it's not the same weaponry and arsenal that you and I would normally fight with. But tonight, before I get into that, I want to give you 3 points of what worship is and what worship does for us and through us. Give me 1 second. Thank you, Jesus. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to go to Isaiah chapter 6. And we're going to look at our brother Isaiah, as he finds himself in worship. And the word of God reads, in that year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting high on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe, it filled the entire temple. Above it stood a seraphim, being an angel. Each had 6 wings, with 2 covering its face, with 2 covering its feet, and 2 wings that they flew with. And one cried to another, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the doors were shaking by the voice of the angel. Now, I want to pause right there just for 1 second. We see that, and we think of angels, and we think of, you know, coming in and walking among us, and we hear the stories of people finding gold dust. Now, there's a lot of glitter in the house of God, amen? There's a lot of glitter in the house of God, but we hear the stories of the gold dust that we found after we've had a mighty move of God's presence. We sing the song, I can feel the brush of angels' wings. Honey, let me tell you something. If an angel came down here and brushed you with its wing, you'd fly straight to China. Angels are so huge and so mighty. Their wings are ginormous, and just the whoo, we don't even got to touch you. I mean, you're going to go flying. I just wanted to get that off my chest. That was for free. So then one of the angels, seraphims, flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, a hot coal, very, very, very hot, which he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it. And he said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I. Send me. Remember that. Everybody say in this house, here am I. Here am I. Send me. Three things that worship will do to you when you find yourself in the presence of God. Worship brings you an upward look. Right? When you're in the presence of God, it makes you to not have to focus on everything that's going on down here. Amen? All right? So when we find ourselves in true worship and in true humbleness to God, and we come into the house of God and we focus on the Lord, immediately our attitude, our spirit, our demeanor is changed. And we have an upward directional look. And once we focus on the Father, okay, it gives us a glance at God on His throne in all of His glory. When we see God in all of His glory, nothing can fathom seeing the Lord on His throne. Everything, when we see God on His throne doing what He does, everything else becomes inadequate. Everything else becomes irrelevant. And all of our problems fade away because we realize how strong and how mighty our God is when we are looking towards Him. A glance at God on His throne in all of His glory. It refocuses our view on God. All right? The young adults, we're doing a study for this season, this semester of focus groups, on wisdom and using wisdom. And we're going through the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs says that wisdom comes from the fear of the Lord, knowing how mighty He is. Fear not being afraid, but the fear of knowing how great and being respectful of the fact of who He is. Amen. When we think of God and we say, you know, oh, I'm sick, I need to be healed, you know, why won't God heal me? Why won't God heal me? But Brother Carpenter, I believe it. When we pray over our sickness, when we pray over our family, we don't have to ask and wonder if God's going to do it, because He already promised in His Word He is. Amen. We come to the throne room with authority when we kind of have an upward look. When we're looking at Him in true worship, everything else begins to fade away and we realize that nothing is impossible for God. What is cancer but a name? I know the name above every name. I'm going to get off of it, so I'm going to go back. It refocuses our view of God and who He is, where we can find focus for living. Amen. It causes us to remember how good God is, how powerful God is, how merciful, how loving, how kind God is. And when I think of the goodness of Jesus, I can't help but just give Him a hallelujah and a praise, because I know where I was 5 years ago, and I'm going to tell you right now, I'm 5 years sober right now. I used to snort a ball of cocaine a day. I shouldn't be alive right now. If not, and that was just personal. That wasn't socially when I did with everybody else. I used to drink myself to a coma. I used to do everything under the book. And so let me tell you something right now. It doesn't matter where you're at or what you've done, what you've been through. I know where I was, and when I think of the goodness and I direction and I place my direction towards the throne room and I'm looking up, I think about the goodness of God and how powerful He is. When He brought me up out of that jail cell, I felt like I was talking to that cinder block. I'll tell you right now. But I'll tell you, woo, Jesus on the main line, tell Him what you want. When I think of the goodness of God, I can't help but to get happy and excited. Amen. I know who I was and I know who I am now. And I might not be who I need to be or who I'm going to be, but I sure ain't what I used to be. Amen. Point number two, if you're taking notes, worship brings you an inward look to yourself. All right? So we find Isaiah, and he's in the throne room of God, and he's worshiping, and he is in awe of everything that's going on. And he realizes, okay, that's God. Wow. But as soon as he realizes that God is sitting right in front of him, he says, dude, I am not worthy. I'm unclean. The things I say are unclean. The things I do are unclean. Now, we're talking about Isaiah, a prophet of God. All right? I ain't preaching to nobody, all right? And if I... Preach! If I ain't preaching to nobody in this house, I'm preaching to myself. All right? Because Isaiah, a good man, is standing in the presence of Yahweh saying, oh my God, I am just... I ain't nobody. I'm horrible. I'm a horrible person. The things I've said, the things I've done, and his internal awareness of what is going on in his life is opened up, and his spiritual internal eyes are open to who he really is. So when we find ourselves in the middle of worship, we find ourselves, all right, I probably shouldn't have said that. But you love me, God. You know me. Yo, you know me, God. And God's saying, yeah, I know you. You better get right. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Pastor's preaching on fornication again. Oh, Jesus. I see it, and I see it, God. Yeah, no, I see it. I see it. You ain't got to tell me again. I see it. I see it, man. All right, my road rage is getting somewhat better. I only shot the bird 2 times this week. That's better than most. Not me. I'm just not me. Not me. But we realize these things in the midst of our worship. And in the presence of God, we see ourselves for who we are. When we see God for who he is, we see ourselves for who we are. For somebody, that's real tonight. After Isaiah saw the Lord, he saw his sinfulness, and he realized how awful of a man he was. And he was a good man, but compared to the glory of God and the awness and the perfection of God and who God is, we realize that without him, our good deeds, what we do that's good, is as filthy rags. Let me tell you something. We do. I had an eye-opening moment a couple weeks ago. I do the rags, the kitchen rags that we use when we do Hebrews Cafe and when we do special events. I wash them after the cafe uses them, so that way we have clean rags. And I'm putting these rags in my washing machine. And let me tell you something. If you know what I'm talking about, I mean, and I'm not, and listen, this is my own, like, when you, nasty. Nasty, 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 nasty. But then when you realize, man, I did. I was really good this week. I'm a good individual man. It says that filthy rag that I just threw in my washing machine. Are you serious? So when we think of who we are and we see who we are, there's therefore no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. So if you've given your heart to the Lord and you have been washed by the blood, amen, you are not who you used to be, and you are now identified through Christ. Amen. Amen. Number three, if you're taking notes, worship brings an outward look. So now, after we've been in the presence of God and we see what God is doing in us, when we see what God looks like and we have an encounter, one thing that our praise and worship team prays every single time that we come into the presence of God is, God, let your kingdom come. Heaven on earth, let us feel your presence. Let us walk with you today. Let us be with you. Let us have an encounter today that changes not only the rest of the family, but changes us as a praise and worship team. Amen? So when we get into the presence of God, we see us. We see who God is. And then we start to see through his eyes, and we see the need of our community, of our family, of our friends, of the country. You know, if we weren't, I'll tell you right now, if we weren't a worshiping church like we are, and Pastor Steve weren't worshiping men of God, mighty, mighty worshipers, mighty warriors, we wouldn't be going up to Panama. We'd be staying right here in Citrus County, doing what we do on a weekly basis, amen? But I'll tell you right now, when we see him, we see us, the next step is always, we see the need, and we see our brothers, and we see our sisters. And it gives you a desire to be obedient. After we got into the presence of God with Isaiah, God said, now, who will go for us? Who am I going to send? And when you're in true worship and when you begin to magnify the Lord and praise him, a desire of obedience begins to rise up inside of you. And, you know, we take baby steps. We do. God says, lift up your hands and worship me. And sometimes we're like, all right, I did it. You know, so baby steps of obedience to the Lord, right? And it's more than that. It's more than that. It's being sensitive to the Holy Spirit and doing what he says and how he guides us to walk, where he guides us to go, you know. So it gives us a desire to be obedient and do whatever God has called us to do. I've been called to preach the Word of God. When I was living in sin, everybody knew who I was. Can I get personal with you guys tonight? When I was out partying, when I was doing my thing, I was raised Church of God. Okay, I was raised Pentecostal, shout, sing, do your thing, you know, praise the Lord. And I never left that. And as I was playing beer pong, as I was doing drugs, smoking weed, drinking, my nickname was Preacher. Because people knew me and what I stood for, yet so hypocritical. But they knew me, but it wasn't a good example. Very hypocritical, 100%. But the calling of God is without repentance. And I want to encourage somebody tonight. If you've got family, if you've got loved ones, if you've got friends that are called and they are not living by the Word of God and they are not in God's will, I just want to stop right here where I'm at, and I just want to tell you that his gift and his calling is not with repentance. He doesn't change his mind. And if you've instilled the Word of God in them, and if you've reached out to them, if you planted the seed, that will come full circle, and they will come to know the Lord, and they will serve the Lord. I prophesy that to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Because let me tell you something. I know where I was at, and I hate to sound like a broken record, but I know where I was at, and I know where I'm at now. And when I began to worship, when I became obedient, and I had a desire to say, okay, God, okay, I don't need to do that. I don't want to do that. You're what I want. You're what I need. To worship you, I live. To worship you, I live. I live to worship you. Nothing else matters. To worship you. To worship you. I find myself being more comfortable. I find myself being less stressed. I find myself living in the will of God, being obedient to him, and I find myself happier. I find myself getting sleep and not always having to worry about what's going on. I don't have to take Xanax. I don't have to take Valium. I'm okay. You know, the Lord is going to provide for me. And all I have to do is worship, get in his presence, and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because that, right there, my family, is the pulling down of strongholds. Amen? True worship is seeing the tremendous worth of God and it represents giving him the best of everything that you have. Amen. We're at war tonight, family. I don't know if you understand that or not, but we are at war against principalities. If you don't know what principalities are, we're at war against addiction. We're at war against death. We're at war against sickness. We're at war against evil demonic presences trying to come into our country and infiltrate, take over our government, take over our officials, take over our leaders, take over our churches, take over what we're doing here. Yet we don't see that because we only see what Fox says. We only see what CNN says. We only see, fake news. We only see what's going on in front of our eyes. Okay, just like when we come to church, we only see Pastor Ronnie doing that stanky leg. Boy, that man loves to do that stanky leg, boy, and he gets it down. But I'll tell you, when we see that, our spirits are lifted, but we don't see the hell that Pastor Ronnie had to go through this past week. We don't see the principalities that have been trying to stop the ministry of CRCOG. We don't see the attacks of the enemy that have been trying to close these doors for 10 years and those doors over there for 25 years. Let me tell you something today, family. When we get into the presence of God, we realize that we are at war and that our weapons that we fight with today are inadequate and don't work. This is not a war against Muslim extremists. This is not a war between nations. And this is not a war against each other. I'm going to let that sink in for like 10 seconds. Because someone ain't hear what I just said. You ain't got to fight him. You ain't got to fight her. It is not a war against each other. I need that to sink in tonight, guys. We spend too much time fighting with one another. We spend too much time fighting with our mother and our father. We spend too much time fighting with our children. We spend too much time fighting with our spouses. We find too much time fighting with our brothers and our sisters. We find too much time fighting with people in the church. My God, family. It is time for us to realize that the war is not against Sister Susie or Brother Flip Flop. I came by to tell somebody tonight that the war is against the enemy. And right now I feel the anointing all over me. I feel like storming hell with a water pistol. I feel like giving that old slew foot devil a knuckle sandwich, reaching down his throat and taking him by his tail and wringing him inside out. My God. We're at war. Not with each other. Let me say it one more time. Not with each other. You know what? Can I get you guys to say that with me? Praise the Lord. We spend too much time fighting. But how do we fight this war? How do we fight this war that we're in? Praise, worship, prayer, the word. Getting all that we can get. But tonight I want to talk about worship. I want to talk about worship as one of your main weapons. Amen? What does the Bible say about worship? In John chapter 4, verse 23, it says, "But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit. And those who worship him, must worship him in spirit and in truth." Now, I want to break down spirit and in truth for you tonight, family. Is that okay? I'm going to use the DMV, Department of Motor Vehicles, as an illustration tonight. How many of y'all love to go to the DMV? Not everybody at once. But when you're 16 years old and you've been driving around with a permit, I don't care if the wait is 7 hours. I want to go to the DMV. I want to go there. Ain't that right? Come on, somebody testify with me tonight. So we look at the spirit. How many of y'all have ever been to played or performed or had a basketball game or a baseball game or a cheerleading competition or any type of competition, man or woman, and you know you had someone that you invited and they said, "I can't make it, but I'll be there in spirit." Amen. So we look at spirit and we say, "Okay, your heart wants to be here, right? But you can't be here." So that's spirit. Now, truth. Truth is you want to be somewhere. As you want to be, oh no, sorry. Truth is you are there. Spirit is you want to be. Amen. Truth is you are there. Yeah, I'm here. How many people were there? 6. How long's the wait? The DMV. How many people's there? 6. How long's the wait? 18 hours. You know what I'm saying? So the DMV is getting better. They got a lot of people working in there now. So it's hit and miss sometimes. But you know, you're there, and the whole time you are at the DMV, you are not there in spirit. Facebook. When's the last time you just wanted to check your emails? You're like, I'll just go check all 18,000 of my emails. You know, so you're there in truth, but not in spirit. Sometimes we come into the house of God in truth. I do not want to be here today. I don't want to do it. To worship you, I live. Okay, 3 points. Get it on. I got to wake up early in the morning. Come on, let's go. To worship you, I live to worship you. Okay, all right. He's praying. And make a quick exit stage left, right? So we find ourselves sometimes coming into the house of God in truth, but not in spirit, because we're tired, or we don't want to, or we're hurt. Or Sister Susie looked at me cross-eyed. Honey, Sister Susie didn't look at you cross-eyed. She is cross-eyed. Brother Flip-Flop, he didn't shake your hand because he don't got no peripheral. He didn't see you holding out your hand for 10 minutes. It's time for us to stop fighting one another. All right, moving on. So, spirit and in truth, if we worship God, it is and must be spirit. We have to want to praise Him. You know, I've asked this question, and I'm guilty of it. Why can't God just make me a robot? Why can't He just not give me can't He just take the desire to do drugs out? Why can't He just give me the desire to not speed? Preaching to myself. I mean, somebody, come on now. Why can't He just make me a robot? I don't, you know, why not? He created us to worship Him because we want to. You look at your spouse and you want them to say, "I love you." I said, "I love you." My Mimo that's sitting in the house tonight, sometimes I have to tell her, "I said, I love you." And I have to remind her because she didn't say it back. But would you rather them to say, "I love you," because they wanted to? Rather than saying, "Oh, I know they didn't just hang up without saying, I love you back." Hello. God wants us to worship Him in truth and in spirit. Now, I'm gonna try my best to get rid of this myth. You know, I don't need to go to church. You know, God, we don't have to go to church to go to heaven. You don't have to go to church to go to heaven. But when God says in spirit and in truth, the Bible says, forsake not the assembly of the brethren. So if we want to worship Him, part of worshiping God is corporate worship. Getting together with the family, locking arms, and waging war against the enemy. Amen? Sometimes we've got to come in here when we don't feel like it. And we've got to come in here when we're tired and when we're sick and when we don't want to. But honey, let me tell you something. There's two times, only two times to praise the Lord. When you feel like it and when you don't feel like it. And sometimes you got to come into the house of God and lock arms with your brothers and sisters. Amen? So we find ourselves now, we've established to worship God, we must, no ifs, no ands, must worship Him in spirit, because we want to, and in truth. We have to show and be the arms, feet, hands, eyes of Christ. Amen? Spirit must come from the heart, meaning you want to be here. Truth shows action. Oh, Jesus, Lord, Jesus. Truth comes from obedience of the Word of God. Yes, I am tithing. Yes, I am praying for my brother and my sister. Yes, I am coming to church. Yes, I am praising. Yes, I am fasting. Yes, I am living according to the Word of God. Worship is not just dancing and singing. Worship is engaging in battle. The Hebrew word for worship is shakah. Shakah, translated from the Hebrew, means to lay down, to depress, to humble yourself. So you're going to tell me, Pastor Josh, that to fight this battle that I'm looking at, to fight my wife, or to fight my husband, or to fight my boss at work, or to fight the devil himself, the thing I have to do is lay down on my face? That is a very strange way to fight, Pastor Josh. Okay? But let me open your eyes tonight. If we would lay down, I'm reminded of a scene in the movie The Lion King. When Simba was like, trying to yell at the hyenas. And they were like, and then like all of a sudden, like Mufasa came in and was like, right? If you would just lay down and get on your face and stop trying to fix everything that God's trying to do, you're getting in the way, honey. If you would just lay down on your face and just know that God is God and He's going to take it, they don't see you. They see Him. Why are you always trying to put your fingers in the pudding? Let God do what He does. Why are you always trying to handle things? You ain't got to. You did it yourself and look where you got. But yet, if we lay down on our face and we assume a position of humbleness and complete surrender, we don't have to fight, family. I'm not trying to get anybody to shout or anything. I just want you to know that we don't have to fight. The battle isn't yours. The battle is God's. The battle belongs to Him. You don't have to do a thing but give Him glory, because on the other side of worship, He is fighting on your behalf. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. So to bow down and to humble myself, that's how I win. You're telling me, Pastor Josh. Yeah, I am. How do I engage in battle if I'm on the floor? God is fighting for you. If you get out of His way, yes, indeed. I'm reminded of Paul and Silas as they were in the prison. And they began to see their current situation. I'm going to tell you right now, you catch me in a prison, you catch me in a jail cell, First thing on my mind is not singing a praise and worship song. Why not again? That's me. That might not be anybody else. Why not again? I don't want to do this no more. Man, there was one point where I had my lawyer's number memorized. Praise God I forgot it because I don't need him. I got a lawyer and a defense attorney. Hey. Okay, but, all right, they find themselves in a jail cell. 9 out of 10 people are going to be like, are you serious? All right, what do I got to do? How am I going to get out of this? What's the deal? Man, forgive me, family. Oh, we find ourselves in a jail cell, and we say, and we find Paul and Silas, and they begin to sing praise and worship. In the middle of your worship, God will move the earth. Paul and Silas begin to sing and worship God. And that doesn't mean to sing and to dance around and to do all that. That means to take a stance of humbleness, laying on your face, knowing that God has got it under control. So they took a position and a stance of humbleness and of humility, saying, God, I don't know what's going to happen, but you got this. Earthquake broke the whole entire jail down. The guard was about to kill himself because if any of the prisoners escaped, the boss man was going to kill him anyway, so why not? But Paul and Silas saw him, said, hey, don't kill yourself. Hey, we're here. We're right here, bro. We're good. We're still right here. Ended up leading the jail, the guard to the Lord. The jail guard and his family got saved. So through your worship, your neighbor will get saved, can get saved, has the opportunity to get saved. We find in the book of Judges, chapter 20, when Israel was at battle with themselves, going to the battle of the tribe of Benjamin, and we find that God told them to send out the tribe of Judah, Judah being the tribe of praise. Sometimes you've got to fight your battle with praise and worship. Amen? I'm trying to hurry. I know it's getting late. David was outnumbered by the Philistines, and David described that moment as God of the breakthrough showing up and scattering his enemies. Worship will make you bold. Amen? When you want to worship, and you don't care who's looking at you, you don't care what's going on around you, you will. Listen, when you hear people talking about getting drunk in the Holy Spirit, it's a real thing. Let me tell you something. Coming from, if we're being personal tonight, if I'm able to be personal with you, I woke up many a time safe and sound at my own home, not knowing how I got there, drinking alcohol, doing drugs. Waking up not knowing how in the world I'm not in jail, or not knowing how in the world I didn't die last night. But I woke up in my bed. How? I'll never know. Right? But you find yourself in the middle of the pew getting drunk in the Holy Ghost. By the time you open your eyes, you're up here in the middle of the altar dancing around. Amen? All right? So we find ourselves, you know, I ain't got to get drunk no more. I ain't got to smoke Marlboro. I'm getting drunk on the new wine. You know what I'm saying? But David, I'm reminded of David now. David was fighting Goliath. And he was bold, but there's something inside of me that might think, you know, I'm 27, but there's something inside of me that might think, okay, David was about 20 years old, give or take a few years. He had to have been a little scared. I mean, you could be filled with the Holy Ghost, but that flesh is going to be like, yo, he is 10 foot tall. He's going to squash me. But David was a worshiper. And so this is just my personal view of David. Jesus on the main line. Hey, don't say that. That's my God you're talking about. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you... right? He had been a little scared. But when you worship, worship makes you bold. Worship makes you to want to fight. Worship makes you want to charge the gates of hell with a water pistol. Worship makes you want to say, okay, I see what's going on in my family and in my house right now, but I know that it won't be like that forever. I know some of us get scared. You've been driving down the road. You start driving down the road, and you see them red and blue lights pull up behind you. Whoop, 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 whoop. That's the sound of the police. Whoop, 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 whoop. And you know you ain't sang not now one worship song all day. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Thinking that that's going to fix everything. I know that ain't right. My God. But we've got to find ourselves in a continual fashion of worship. You may feel defeated tonight. Psalms 137 says it like this. The Israelites were captured. They were in captivity. And so they hung their harps on the willow tree. And they gave up singing and worshiping. Why would God do this to me? Why does God want me to be captive? Why is God making my spouse acting like that? Why is God making my children act like that? What is God doing? Really? No, I'm done. I'm just going to hang my harp on the willow tree and not do it anymore. And the enemy in Psalms 137 taunts and makes fun of the Israelites, saying, take your harps off the willow tree. Sing again the songs of Zion. Do what you did before, because it seemed to help you a lot. I come by to tell somebody tonight, I want to encourage you. If you've hung your song up on the willow tree, if you've hung your dance up on the willow tree, if you've hung your harp on the willow tree, it's time to take your harp off the willow tree and sing again the song of Zion. Now, what the enemy doesn't realize is that when they taunt you and they tell you, go ahead, sing again the songs of Zion. When you sing the songs of the Lord, when you sing worship, when you praise God, when you lay down on your face and position yourself to be humble and not worry about whatever's going on around you, and you know that God is going to fight for you and help you and protect you and bring you through, you know what that is? That's nails on a chalkboard to the enemy. My sister, Lauren Reed, over here. There was an incident a couple years ago. That was more like 8 years ago. I have a thing with metal silverware and like eating and it bothers me. It makes me, oh, just thinking about it. And so they like triple red dog dare me. Everybody knows you can't turn down a triple red dog dare. To just bite on, I can't think about it. To bite onto the fork. We were at a restaurant. And like we were with a whole group of youth. And they were all around me. So I couldn't turn down a triple red dog dare because there was like 18 people. And what am I going to look like? Not going to happen. So I put the fork on my teeth. And Lauren is sitting right next to me. And she goes, oh, it was bad. Family, when I tell you it was bad, I fell back in my chair on the ground. Honestly, I really did. It was bad. It was so bad. I have this thing of cutting stuff on your plate, on glass, and I can't do it. It bothers me, and people do it to me on purpose because they know that it bothers me. But when you start to praise and worship, when you take a stance of humbleness and to depress yourself onto the ground and let God fight your battle for you, It's just like all of that combined into one against the enemy. Amen. So this evening, musicians, if you would come, help me out. Everybody stand to your feet tonight. Sometimes unconsciously, we come into the house of God and we think our praise and our worship is singing, and we think that our praise and our worship is dancing, and we take a posture of, you know, I'm going to come in. Now, there is nothing wrong with dancing. There is nothing wrong when my sister Vicky picks up her flag and she's dancing with her flag. Do you understand what that is? Old Testament law, Old Testament culture, they would wave the flags to let the enemy know, I'm still here. I haven't backed down. I haven't left. You're not going to fight. I'm still here. You ain't scared me away. I'm going to do what I've come to do. I'm going to come to give God praise. And so when we do this and we show the enemy that we haven't backed down and we haven't been scared, the enemy retreats. The enemy falls back. But tonight, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. I feel in my spirit as we come into the house of worship and we come and we sing and we praise, we think of the things of carnally. I'm going to come and there's nothing wrong with dancing. There's nothing wrong with shouting in the Holy Spirit. But when we come and that's our source of entertainment, or that's our source of stress relief for the week, to come in and shout and then go back and do the same thing over again the next week, that's not what the Bible calls us to do with worship. Tonight, I just want to encourage you. I'm going to give a different type of altar call. But tonight, I just want to encourage you, when you come into the house of God, it is not that you have to come in and sing the praise and worship songs, but it's about coming in and taking a posture and a stance. God, I'm here. In spirit, in truth, I worship you. I know everything doesn't look right, but I know that you're going to work all things to the benefit of me because I'm called according to your purpose. And I give you all the glory and all the praise tonight, God. And I thank you, God. And I want to encourage you, as your worship pastor, as we sing the songs, And we do. It's not about always having, you know, always being in the right key or doing, you know, the right song or this, that, and the other. It's about humbling ourselves and taking a posture of, you haven't defeated me. I'm here, and I'm here to stay. So I want to encourage you, as you come into the house of God, to not take a posture of, oh, I'm going to sing that song right today. I hope they sing that song. I hope they do this, or I hope they do that. Take a posture of worship. I'm going to let him fight my battles. You know, tonight I'm going to open these altars. But before that, I want us to bow our heads and close our eyes together. I promise I won't embarrass anybody. If there's anybody in this house that has not given their heart to Christ and has not entered into covenant with him, and you did long to do that tonight, and you want to worship him, and you want to do that, if you would, just raise your... I'm not going to call you up. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to do anything to embarrass you. Thank you. I see those hands. Everybody say this prayer after me. Corporately. Lord, I love you. And I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. Come into my heart. Change my life. Accept me into your kingdom, into your family. Guide my steps. Make me like you. In Jesus' name. Come on, give him some praise in this house.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.